Today, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 95. Psalm 95, and then that's just our opening scripture reading, and then we'll be moving to the book of Isaiah after that, and that's where we'll be today. But Psalm 95 will be our opening scripture today, and I read Psalm 94 as our call to worship. And I ended that with in Psalm 94 this morning when I said, when doubts filled my mind, your comfort gave me renewed hope and cheer. We need that renewed hope and cheer every day, do we not? Oh, okay. Maybe you guys have it better than I do, but I need that every day. And if you do have it better than I do, congratulations, because I think I have it pretty good. And I love the Lord and I love my life. So Psalm 95, I'm reading the whole thing, guys, verses 1 through 11. And it says, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Okay, it doesn't say let us look to him for it. It says let us come to him with it already, with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands formed the dry land too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. If only you would listen to his voice today. We're going to come back to that, guys. If only you would listen to his voice today. The Lord says, don't harden your hearts as Israel did at Meribah, as they did at Massa in the wilderness. For there your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw everything I did. Even though they saw everything I did. That's a powerful statement right there. And he says, for 40 years I was angry with them. And I said, they are a people whose hearts turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. So in my anger, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest. Let's bow our heads. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. And may the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. The psalmist David here, and you can go ahead and turn to Isaiah if you'd like now. Let's just go to Isaiah 1. We won't start there, but it'll be right behind it. But the psalmist David, he's pleading with the listeners, and he says in verse 7, and then finishes it with what the Lord says. He said, if only you would listen to his voice today. If only. And then he goes on and says, the Lord says, don't harden your hearts as Israel did. He pleads with the listener. Man, if only today you will listen to him and hear his voice. And then he says, why? The Lord says, don't harden your hearts as your ancestors did. He didn't like that. He had things to do with them after that, after they hardened their hearts. Did he not? Today, if only we would do that and listen to his voice. So today, we're going to look in Isaiah, and we'll start off in chapter 2. In Isaiah chapter 2, I hope you brought your Bible. Why? Because I'm going to be doing a lot of reading. Guys, we're going to read a lot today. And it's okay. I'm okay with it. But Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1 through 22, that's the entire chapter, guys. But it's important what it says in each and every verse that we go through in there. And there's more after that, so hang on. This is a vision that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. This is Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1 through the end of that chapter. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of all, the most important place on earth. It will be raised above the other hills, and people from all over the world will stream there to worship. People from many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob's God. There he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. Let me just stop right there for a minute. There's a point there that says we will learn and we will put into practice what he teaches us. There he will teach us his ways and we will walk in his path. That means we'll put into practice what he tells us to do. That's one of the biggest areas we struggle in as a community of faith in Christianity. Is we hear it, we know it, we don't put it into practice, we don't walk it, we don't follow it. For the Lord's teaching will go out from Zion, his word will go out from Jerusalem, and the Lord will mediate between nations and will settle international disputes. Did you hear who's going to figure those international disputes out? The Lord. It says he's got this. They will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will no longer fight against nation, nor train for war anymore. And it doesn't say, put your sword away and keep it till later. He says, put it away and make it into something else more useful. Don't store it in a closet and keep it in case something comes up. I've got this, he says. Turn it into something more useful. In verse 5 it says, come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. For the Lord has rejected his people, the descendants of Jacob, because they have filled their land with practices from the east and with sorcerers, as the Philistines do. They have made alliances with pagans. Israel, listen carefully, Israel is full of silver and gold. There is no end to its treasures. They got a bunch of it, guys. Their land is full of war horses. There is no end to its chariots. Their land is full of idols. The people worship things they have made with their own hands. In other words, this land is not their wanting for things. They are full of these things. They have stuff. Verse 9, so now they will be humbled. And all will be brought low. Do not forgive them. I found that very odd when I read that. Verse 10, crawl into caves in the rocks, hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. Now listen to verse 11, because it's repeated a little bit down, further down there. Human pride will be brought down and human arrogance will be humbled. Only the Lord will be exalted on that day of judgment. Again, this will be repeated as well. For the Lord of heaven's armies has a day of reckoning. He will punish the proud and mighty and bring down everything that is exalted. He will cut down the tall cedars of Lebanon and all the mighty oaks of Bashan. He will level all the high mountains and all the lofty hills. He will break down every high tower and every fortified wall. He will destroy all the great trading ships and every magnificent vessel. Here we are again in verse 17. Human pride will be humbled twice in 7 verses that it's repeated. And human arrogance will be brought down. And again for the second time, only the Lord will be exalted on that day of judgment. Idols will completely disappear when the Lord rises to shake the earth. His enemies will crawl into holes in the ground. They will hide in caves in the rocks from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. On that day of judgment, they will abandon the gold and silver idols they made for themselves to worship. They will leave their gods to the rodents and bats while they crawl away into caverns and hide among the jagged rocks and the cliffs. They will try to escape the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty as he rises to shake the earth. Verse 32. Don't put your trust in mere humans. They are as frail as breath. What good are they? That's my version. Do not put your trust in mere humans because we're going to let you down. What good are we? There's an awful lot of things that they were full of. Gold and silver. Horses, chariots, idols that they made with their own hands. It says they were full of these things. We have amassed a great amount of stuff in our lives. But it says all this stuff will be for nothing soon enough. Now they will be humbled and all will be brought low. God's going to tell you, it doesn't matter what you have. It doesn't matter what you did and made for yourself, including your life or your education or your job or the stuff that you have purchased. Your house, your land, your possessions, your clothing, your vehicles, your electronics, whatever it is, that doesn't matter anymore. Only the Lord will be exalted on that day of judgment. Twice it says that. Human pride will be humbled and human arrogance will be brought down. Now, let's keep pressing ahead. We're going to skip chapter 3. We're going to chapter 4. And we want to look at everything else he tells us there is Isaiah has heard from the Lord. Isaiah chapter 4, 1 through 6. Again, we're reading the entire chapter, but it's only 6 verses, so hang in there, church. In that day, so few men will be left that 7 women will fight for each man, saying, "Let us all marry you. We will provide our own food and clothing. Only let us take your name so we won't be mocked as old maids." Now let's just stop there. Guys are going, holy cow, 7 women for each man. Let us all marry you. I've got it made. And they're going to bring their own food and clothing. I don't have to provide for those 7. Not such a good thing. Look around. Where are their brothers? What happened to them? So a lot of times we think, hey, we got it made here. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. I lost my brothers. What's more important? Shouldn't my brother be here with me standing in the presence of God? And it says in verse 2, but in that day the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious. Oh, what a day. The branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious. The fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of all who survive in Israel. All who remain in Zion will be a holy people, those who survive the destruction of Jerusalem and are recorded among the living. We have in chapter 2, we're talking about the Lord warning us against His judgment of our actions. If you only hear His voice today, don't harden your heart. And now we have a promise of restoration. And He says in verse 4, I love this, the Lord will wash the filth from beautiful Zion and cleanse Jerusalem of its bloodstains with a hot breath of fiery judgment. Then the Lord will provide shade for Mount Zion and all who assemble there. He will provide a canopy of cloud during the day and smoke and flaming fire at night, covering the glorious land. It will be a shelter from daytime heat and a hiding place from storms and rain. God says, you guys will go through this stuff, but guess what I'm going to do? I am going to provide protection for you. I'm going to provide restoration for you. I'm going to provide protection from the heat of the day. And I know you're thinking, where's that protection in these days? Because it's pretty hot out. Well, are you in this setting? Are you in this setting to have that blessing? Are you in this setting to be obedient to receive that? He will provide. What will He provide? He will provide what you need according to Him. Because our need list is very long compared to His need list. He says, oh, you need these 5 things. We're going, I got a list of 57. What about those? He says, you don't need those. You just want those. You desire those things. But you see, when you fall in line with me, and when you line up behind me, not beside me, but behind me, and are obedient in that journey behind me, not beside me, he says, I will provide for you. These are the things I will give you. Eric and I were talking earlier. I didn't keep it. Colossians 2. And in there he talks about, I don't want these things. And we'll get to that in just a minute, actually in Isaiah 1, because we're going backwards here. But he said, do these things and line up with me. Matter of fact, let's jump over to Isaiah 1. Jump back, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 1. But the Lord says, I have my judgment on my people. And when they are obedient and line up with me, then I also have my restoration plan. Now, he already said, I was angry for 40 years. So some of you may think, man, I've been in this thing for a long time. He may be angry for 40 years. You may still have another 39 to go. I don't know. They had 40. You may be in your first year of a 40-year situation between you and God. Don't give up. Don't give up. Some of you pray day in and day out for family and friends. Don't give up. Don't give up that prayer. Continue to do it. Isaiah chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 11. This one we will not read the entire chapter. We'll just read the last half. Isaiah 1 through 20. I'm sorry, 11 through 20. And there's so much in this. But I want to start here, because I find it a powerful thing that God is saying to the people. And that's what Eric and I were talking about earlier today, that he says in Colossians as well. He says, what makes you think I want all your sacrifices, says the Lord? I am sick of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fattened cattle. I get no pleasure from the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to worship me, who asks you to parade through my courts with all your ceremony? Freedom to worship is one thing. Doing it with ceremony for mankind is another. He says, who asked you to do it with ceremony? Stop bringing me all your meaningless gifts, the incense of your offering. It disgusts me, he says. As for your celebrations of the new moon and the Sabbath and your special days for fasting, they're all sinful and false. I want no more of your pious meetings. I hate your new moon celebrations and your annual festivals. They are a burden to me and I cannot stand them. Holy cow, that came from the Lord. They were doing religious activities. He said, I don't want that. I don't want the ceremony. I want obedience, but I don't want the ceremony. And the ceremony comes from man. Man has said, we will do these things. Eric and I have tried to be very clear when we offer different experiences throughout the year. These aren't required for us to do. Ash Wednesday foot washing are the things that stand out most to me. They're not required for us to do. We do those as an experience and as an example of what others do. We understand fully, we're not required to do that. Any more than when we worship, we're not required to do this. We're not required to do this. We come, he says, worship me in spirit and in truth. Boom, you got it. If it's in spirit and in truth, then you are worshiping him in the way that he has given you to worship. But he says, do not put mankind's ceremony in the midst of that stuff. I get all excited about that. that pretty bold stuff coming from the Lord. The incense of your offering, it disgusts me. These things are sinful and false. They are a burden to me. I cannot stand them. Verse 15. When you lift up your hands in prayer, I will not look, says the Lord. Though you offer many prayers, I will not listen. For your hands are covered with the blood of innocent victims. Wash yourselves and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. That's bold stuff from the Lord. That's bold stuff from the Lord. You know, we're going to have new member Sunday coming up in our anniversary celebration. We're going to welcome in some new members. And when we do this, Eric and I have this simple little card. And it says, I am faithful in regular attendance through fellowship and reaching out to others at prayer of faith. I give of my tithes and offerings to support the church's missions and the mission of prayer of faith. I lift up our church family's needs and its leadership through regular prayer of faith. I am willing to serve in areas of ministry and share in the responsibility of prayer of faith. And I am growing in discipleship through learning my spiritual gifts and equipping for the service which God calls me to. Now, those are biblical things. And we just ask our members to commit to doing those. We try to be very careful to say, is that saturated in the Bible and Scripture? God calls for those things in different ways and in different places. Our band's going to come up in just a minute. And they're going to play again, O Come to the Altar. And here's why I want that. And here's what I want you to consider. And certainly, church, I don't judge you. If you raise your hand, don't raise your hand. Dance, don't dance when we sing. Open your eyes, close your eyes. Look up, look down, look straight ahead. I don't care. I don't judge you in that. And I will never judge you for staying in your seat if there is an opportunity to come forward, because God may not have told you to come forward even if there's an opportunity. But here's what I want, just a minute. It says in verse 16, wash yourselves and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. Man, that's tough. That's tough to look in that mirror and say, oh, I'm okay. No, you're not. Just throw it down and break it on the ground. You're not. And I'm not. Verse 17, learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of orphans. Fight for the rights of widows. My message today is settle down or settle up. The choice is yours. Settle down or settle up. The choice is yours. And here's why I called it that. Verse 18. Come now. Let's settle this, says the Lord. Ben, you can go ahead and come on up now. Come now. Let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, listen carefully. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them white as snow. He will forgive you. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. If you will only obey me, you will have plenty to eat. But if you turn away and refuse to listen, you will be devoured by the sword of your enemies. I, the Lord, have spoken. He says, come now, let's settle this. And all I'm asking is when we sing this, if you have something you need to settle up, I don't care if you go to the stairs. I don't care if you just bow down and turn around at your seat. I don't care if you come up here. I don't care what you do. But come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. It's time. There's no reason to wait. There's nobody in this church that's going to judge you. And if they do, and if they are, well, they've got some settling to do of their own, and that's on them. You guys remember I told you Wednesday night about Crazy Joe, right? And he said, it's nobody's fault if they're not learning, but yours, teachers. It's nobody's fault if we're not growing. And I wanted to say this. Philippians talks about the Lord, and he said, man, even I come and need to humble myself. Even I come and need to humble myself. And he says in Philippians chapter 2, he says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. That's what I said, when we line up behind him. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself. Why? In obedience to his Father. And he died a criminal's death on the cross. Would you stand and worship? And again, if God calls you up here, come. If not, stay where you are. But settle today with God.
Father, this morning we just thank you. Thank you for this church body. Thank you for the message that was brought from you through your vessel, Father, this morning. Just thank you for everything that you've done for us this week, Father. We just praise you. Father, we ask your mercy upon our lives again this week. Father, in this week we walk with you. We leave these doors with you. We get in our car with you, Father. Father, I pray that we take you wherever we go this week, Father. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Have a blessed week.